Get your Bible out. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And while you're turning there, I want to say all the prime timers, those are of us who are 55 and older, are having a luncheon this afternoon. And is Aunt B in here? She might be working hard at getting it together. It's in the children's room. So all of you that are 55 and older, come hang out with us for a minute, okay? It's going to be lots of fun. Also, while you're trying to find 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, I also want to remind you on November 20th from 1 to 3, everybody say November 20th, 1 to 3, we're going to be feeding the homeless. All right? So we have a contact now with a homeless shelter in Cleveland where there's somewhere between 200 to 400 people that we're going to rent buses and bring them to church and minister to them, okay? So we need you all to sign up and be a part of it, all right? And we want to do that for Christmas as well in December on the 20th of that month. So just stay tuned to all of the things that are happening. There's small groups happening nearly every night of the week. There's beautiful ministry and marriage. Chuck and Tony Bucci are just got a tremendous thing going on there. The mechanics has got a class going on. I mean, there's just some powerful things. Don't sit idle. You got to move forward, right? All right, how many got 1 John chapter 5, verse 4? If you do, say amen. Amen. All right, let's read it together. Ready? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Isn't that powerful? That the world is already overcome. So I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you about this. I will promise you that I won't wear you out today. All right? But I'll be back. Wednesday night I'm going to deal with the church at Smyrna. You don't want to miss that. And did I tell you what's happening a week from this coming Wednesday? Oh gosh. Tasha, you didn't remind me. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. An international conference right here in this auditorium with John Melende, the one who wrote the book, Set Apart for God. These are the people that move in transformations, videos all over the world that go into a region when there's a move of God. And they're conducting a live video feed conference to about 8 cities in America and around the world. And guess who's getting to host one? You are. Yeah, we're opening up our facility to the Cleveland Intercessors. So that Wednesday night, which is the third, I think, or the second, there won't be any normal Wednesday night children's meetings, but you don't want to miss Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I mean, it's like all day. These people are like serious, right? All day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and begins Wednesday night at 7 p.m. They have selected cities they believe, based on their encounter with transformations around the world, where they believe God's next hotspot is. And they've selected Cleveland. I don't think this is by chance. I think it's right on time, don't you? Wow. All right. Well, okay, let's go back to the scripture. Ready? Read it again. For whatever. Say, that includes me. You're a whatever. Whatever. Right? Whatever is what? Born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You know, that's a powerful, powerful thing when you start thinking about faith being near you, like the Word of God being near you and even in your mouth. You know, I think about the nations and how they're gathering together, plotting, planning, strategizing to overthrow God. You know, I can't imagine God up in heaven wringing his hands, thinking, oh my me, what am I going to do? He's not doing that. How many know that when they gather together, after the 3.5-year peace plan and pact is broken, and the Antichrist sets himself up as God in the rebuilt temple, and there in Armageddon they gather to make war against God, he comes back again, and guess who comes with him? You and me, man, we're coming back with him. And what happens? He destroys him by the word of his mouth. If God uses the word to overthrow the nations, when are we going to start using the word, amen, to overthrow the nations? You know, Jesus said something in John 16 that's incredible. He said, in this world, you shall have what? Tribulation. You know, I kind of wondered about that scripture a number of times. I said, God, if you knew that, then why don't you get me out of here? Makes sense, right? Get me out of what I don't want to be in. And we've tried to look for some magical formula so that we don't have tribulation. You know what tribulation means? It means pressure. You feel pressure? How about squeezed? Stressed? So Jesus is saying in this world you're going to have pressure. You're going to have stress. You're going to have trouble. Then he said something that made me mad. Because when I'm squeezed or crushed or feeling pressured, I don't like nobody laughing. Jesus said, be of good cheer. It's hard to be of good cheer when you're pressured, when you're stressed, and when I feel like I'm about to be crushed. Poor translation. You know what it really should say? Be encouraged. Jesus said, when you find that moment in your life, when you're stressed, you're pressured, you're crushed, you feel like you can't go on, be encouraged. Then what did he say after that? I have, ooh, there's that word again, overcome. Overcome. You know what that word comes from? Nikos. I have nikosed the world. What does nikos mean? Have you had a pair of Nikes lately? Anybody wear Nikes? Three of you. All right. You know, Nike Corporation has redefined what gym shoes are. People don't call them gym shoes anymore. When I was a kid, it was like, hey, man, you got your gym shoes. Now we say you got your Nikes. And it stands for victory or conquered. So Jesus said, I have conquered the world. Now let's go back to our text. I'm only going to take a couple minutes. I'm just going to break this down for you because you and I have to do something today besides attend church. Because attending church will not make you a victorious Christian, just like putting a pig in a garage won't make it a car. Right? Bad analogy. But anyway, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Here's what it says. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever is born of God, nikos, overcomes, conquers the what? Cosmos. Why is that important to know that nikos defeats cosmos? Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have pressure, stress, crushing, trouble. But be encouraged because I have conquered the cosmos from which all of that is birthed. In other words, Satan can only arrange the trouble, the stress, and the pressure, and the crushing from the circumstances in the world. He is limited to the world. But that's why Paul the Apostle said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare are what? But they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. If you start fighting the fight limited in the arena of the cosmos, you will get wiped off the mat. Jesus said, I've overcome the strategies that the enemy uses. Here's an example. In a restaurant, Tina and I could be sitting there eating, enjoying the day, looking over, seeing a person sitting across from us means nothing. Sitting over there means nothing. And then I look and I go, Tina, she's over there. Because she represents something the devil arranged to create a stronghold in me. She's the one that talked about me. She's the one that sued me. She's the one that caused the church problems. She's the one that tried to destroy my children. She's the one. And you know how the devil likes to create circumstances to remind you and to take you back from where Jesus delivered you from. That's the only way he could defeat us, is to create circumstances in the cosmos to control us. But watch this. Mark chapter 6. You guys know the scriptures. And I'm just kind of going all over you guys, so I'm pulling them as I see them. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Jesus goes back to his hometown, Nazareth. And listen what it says. Now he could do no what? Mighty works there. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Next verse, verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now I want you to notice something about verse 5. It said Jesus couldn't do any mighty works. That word there is dunamis, which we get from miraculous or supernatural ability. So Jesus couldn't do any miraculous things there. Why? Why couldn't Jesus do any miraculous things there? Now, that word, not only miraculous, it has another connotation. It actually means administrative creation. In other words, Jesus couldn't arrange circumstances that would turn out for their good because they had maybe faith instead of must faith. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Say that with me. Must believe that he is. Is what? Whatever you need. We've got to leave the arena of maybe faith. Maybe God will heal me. Maybe God will give me another job. Maybe God will turn this out for my good. To he must do this. My faith is a must believe faith. In other words, we're not settling for defeat. There is no paralysis, no fear, no defeat, no circumstance, no obstacle that is final. Here's the problem with most Christians. We are accepting the life we've been living, even though it's beneath our covenant right. Look at somebody and just say, stop it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Romans chapter 10, 13. Read it with me. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice something, the word saved, soteria, shall be rescued. Shall be healed, shall be delivered. It's the complete package of what Christ has brought to us. But I don't want you to focus on that as much as I want you to focus on calls. Whosoever calls. That word means this. Whosoever makes an appeal unto the name of the Lord shall be rescued. That means if I'm being held in bondage, I don't have to live in bondage. I don't have to stay in bondage. If I'm in poverty, I don't have to be impoverished the rest of my life. Whosoever shall make an appeal unto the Lord shall be delivered, shall be made wealthy, shall have all their needs met, shall have joy. All of that God has promised us. But here's the word call. It's the same word if you were to go to court today and a judgment been rendered that you feel was an injustice. In our court system, you have the right to make an appeal. And if you don't do it, then you have to live with the judgment. Here's what Christians have done. We're living with the judgment of the God of this world. You don't have to. Now be nice, but look at somebody and shake your finger and say, you don't have to. Be nice. Don't get mean. Because some of us will get mean at that. And you don't want to be mean. You don't want to be nice. But making appeal basically says, I am not going to permit this circumstance to rule my life. Whosoever shall make an appeal unto God shall be rescued. Now, if I don't have my faith built up, then I will succumb willingly to my current condition. The only thing the devil can do is get you into the arena, into the ring of the cosmos. So he will create circumstances that will defeat you. Your dog will bite you. Your job will lay you off. Your children will rebel against you. Your spouse will be mean to you. Your department head you work with will offend you. Circumstances, a ring, a location. That's all he has, because he's the God of this world, according to 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. He's the God of the cosmos. So if I have faith in God, I realize something Mark 5 said, that I can believe that Jesus can arrange circumstances that can change my current circumstances. Now look, I have never had $50, $100 bills show up in my wallet. Now would be a good time, God, if you want to do that. I can throw this sucker down and I can say, Jesus, ha, oh, hey. I could dance around it. Glory to God. I could speak words to it and I can open it up and go, oh, man, there's just George in there. But you know what God can do on my faith appeal? He can create circumstances around me. When I went into the meeting earlier this morning, I needed $35,000. You say, what for? To replace the carpet in the sanctuary. God arranged circumstances. And as I stand here today, the money came in. Why? Because God spoke to her and then spoke to him and then gave them the bonus that they didn't know was coming, and they got the refund check from their insurance premium, and they got an early Christmas present from Grandmama in Florida. And so God arranged circumstances so that when we made faith's appeal, all of a sudden circumstances overrode the current situation. You follow what I'm saying? But you have to have must believe faith. Now I'm just going to give you a couple more scriptures and I'll quit. What is it? Trying to think of the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 said, add to your faith virtue. And then he goes on to mention all the things you add to faith. Would you with me agree that faith is foundational? Of course it is. Because without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't be saved. Faith is what the kingdom is all about. Therefore, I understand more now out of Psalm 11. And is it verse 3? Psalm 11 verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what does it say? What can the righteous do? In other words, if we lose our faith, if we turn into maybe faith instead of must believe faith, then our foundation is destroyed. And if the foundation is missing, what can the righteous do? That's why Jude told us to pray in the Spirit, building yourself up, how? In your most holy faith. Why did he say that? Because faith, pistis, and faithfulness, same word found in Galatians 5:22, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, come as a result of intimacy with God. It actually means progress, advance, moving forward. Not being passive, but being aggressive. That's what it really is talking about. So we are never going to settle for our conditions or our plight in life. No, wait a minute. With God, all things are possible. I don't have to live this way. I don't have to take Valium every day. I don't have to be on welfare. No, wait a minute. I don't have to be behind in my light bill. I don't have to be depressed. Why? Because I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. And God's word has given me hope. So what I have to do now is move from maybe faith, Nazareth faith, to must believe faith. Because I know that if my foundation is destroyed, I can do nothing. What will the righteous do? Do nothing. So we see faith never will remove us from our problems. It confronts them. I do not have a magical wand in my back pocket. If you come for prayer and I say, abracadabra in Jesus' name, financial problems go. And you have lots of money waiting for you when you get home. If I did, this church would be thousands and thousands and thousands. We'd be at the Gund Arena today. Because most people want their needs met like that. But let me tell you how it's got to be. You got to get back in the ring. You have to defeat the devil on his turf. Here's the good news. For the purpose was the Son of God manifest that he might destroy the works of the evil one. He's already defeated. Don't tell anybody. Because most of the church is acting like he's not been defeated. Okay, go ahead, tell somebody. Say the devil is defeated. Come on, tell them. The devil is defeated. He's already defeated. So Jesus is saying, be of good cheer. Ha, 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 be good cheer. Good cheer. I have nikost the cosmos. I have conquered what's trying to kick your... He said, I've conquered it. So hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on. Hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Come on, the bell's ringing. Get back in there. You can do this. That's what Jesus said. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it, and I want you to win. That's the message of the gospel. And I pray today that we will leave this room with a new attitude. An attitude that says, I'm going to file an appeal. I don't like the judgment that's been rendered against me. Now, I'm an attorney, but I'm your legal advisor. File it. Don't take it. You don't have to take it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you got to get back in the ring. You're going to have to fight. You may have to go to the unemployment line. You may have to go back to the doctor. You may have to keep taking your medicine. You may have to keep doing all these things. You say, well, wait a minute. If God said it, how come I still feel so bad? Hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on. Yeah, but I believe God, it should be over. It should be over. Jesus said, in this world you shall have stress, pressure, and crushing. Be of good cheer. Because I have nikos, cosmos. And because I have nikos, cosmos, you are going to overcome too. I am so thankful to be able to come to church today with a bunch of overcomers. Amen. I am so thankful to be in a church of a bunch of overcomers. Stand up on your feet. Jesus, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. When I think of the goodness, when I think of all that you've done, when I think, oh God, of where I've been, when I think, God, where I could be right now. But you saved me. You filled me. You turned me around. All I can do is sing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say it one more time. Thank you, Lord. You gave me my life back. You gave me my hope back. You gave me my joy back. You gave me my purpose back. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. You see, there was a day I was blind, but now I see. And there was a day when I was lame, but now I walk. There was a day when I didn't know right from wrong, but today I'm free. There was a day when I didn't think anybody loved me or anybody wanted me around them. But now I'm loved. So lift your hands with me and sing, thank you, Lord. One more time. Thank you. See, my Bible says me, tells me this, that if he did it once, he'll do it again. Because he's faithful. He's constant, unwavering, stable, same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always forever the same. So God, I just come to you today and I say, do it again. Change me again. Do it again. I want to thank you even before I see the answer, Lord. Some of you need to do this now. Before the doctor said the cancer's gone. Before your wife says, let's try again. Before your children say, I want to go to church, Mom. Before the money comes for that bill. Before the promotion ever comes to your desk, you gotta say thank you. Come on, lift up your voice. Oh, I wanna say thank you, Lord. Cause there's nobody like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna say thank you. I just wanna say thank you. I love you. Oh, my heart, Lord. I love you. One more time. Come on, tell him. Oh, I love you. Cross that aisle and take that person by the hand. Father, I thank you. We can pray one for another today. We can say, Lord, let the weak say they're strong. So I pray, Father, the person whose hand I hold, if there's weakness in their life and anywhere, I pray, God, that they be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Father, I pray for every circumstance as they make their appeal of faith. No matter what you have to do, if you have to speak to the landlord, if you've got to speak to the boss, if you got to go and talk to that husband, if you, God, you can arrange my circumstance because I have must believe faith. Not just maybe faith, I have must believe faith. And I thank you, Lord, in advance for what I know you're going to do for them. Bless them, Father. Bless them, Lord. Bless them in their spirit. Bless them in their soul. And bless them in their body. Amen. So you live right. love everybody. Pray hard. We're going to see you on Wednesday night, right? The church at Smyrna. We love you. Be friendly on your way out. Don't forget. Oh, wait a minute. Don't forget, we've also had the Prime Timers luncheon. Pastor Tossie, I'm supposed to give that to him.
Thank you. Could you? Thank you. Could you?